Hello, hello, and welcome to The Road Less Traveled with Gary L., Gigi's Boo, and a special guest, daughter Erin L. Wow. Hello, everybody out there in RLM land, Real Liberty Media. Hey. Yeah, but Grimnir can hear some drums. We have the chat room going on. If you're not in the chat room, you can come to the Real Liberty Media homepage, and about halfway down, you'll see a chat application. Just stick a name in there, or just hit enter, and come on into the chat. Yeah, okay, Vinny says there's a one-minute lag tonight. We noticed that on our summer communication stuff, there's a lag. And one of the delays on starting, suddenly VLC didn't want to work, so I had to use a backup. How neat is all that? Hello, Gigi's Boo. Where are you?
I'm right here. Good evening, everybody. Hey, Erin.
Hey, honey.
Yeah. How are you?
Doing well. How are you tonight?
Fair to middling, as my grandmother would say.
Fair to middling. Yeah, I think where that's from. Okay, yeah, we have Erin L. here. Daughter Erin L. Say hello to everyone out there.
Hi, chat room.
And all the people listening in on Real Liberty Media Radio, RLM Radio. Hey, chat, shout out to all those guys. A Freedom's Network over there, another wonderful website you can join into. Alternative to Facebook.
And Graham's hearing an echo.
Hearing an echo. Well, let me think why that might be. Echo. All right, how about now? Is that it? I don't hear an echo. Any echo? Hello, echo. Echo. I don't know. I don't know. Boo-boo? Do you hear an echo, boo-boo?
No. Mm-mm. Let us know if you keep hearing it, Graham.
Uh-oh, I hear sirens.
Oh, God, Atticus gonna start.
There goes Atticus. Arr! Okay. Anyhow, here we are tonight. The title of this, I guess, it's kind of loose. It's not really a firm title, but it's basically, what in the world is going on in the world? What's going on? What in the hell is going on? I mean, wow. There's just so much stuff. And, of course, it's all related to this event that we just had recently. I'll call it an election. And it just seems like everything went nuts. Went crazy. Went nutty. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things we'll do tonight, I have some actualities. There's Beth Z. Hey, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
What's up? The old green team. That's back in the day. That's pre-Boo-Boo Bear, actually. Okay, thanks.
Now, see, I caught you in something because you told me one time that nothing existed before Boo-Boo Bear.
Oh, wow. Wow. Hello, chat room. Let's change the subject.
I had to say that.
Yeah. We got Asmo and Barman. And Barman, hey, he can set us up with all kinds of things. Beth Z, Cowboy Tech, Darth Rooms, Grimnir, Moose Girl, Kate, the Atomic Punk, Chalcedony, Chloe, and Chloe again, and some guy named Gary L., and I be Don C. two times, Java Doctor, Wanna Talkle, Meister Brow, Robert Sock Puppet, Vinny, and Behind the Woodshed, there's Hal, he was just on it from 3 to 5, if you missed that, well, don't know what to tell you, Clank, Colfax, etc., Frumpy, GG's Boo, Graham Z., Grindle, Jehovah, Kozu, and Pawn Sauce. That's quite a collection of people, isn't it, there?
It is.
Wow. Quite a collection. What we're going to do...
In the house tonight.
What we're going to do is we're going to try to analyze a little bit about what in the heck is going on. If it was only went nutty if anyone believed in the clap. That's the corporate lame-ass propaganda media is what that refers to for those of you who aren't familiar with it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she got the good, Beth.
She did.
I'll have to sing, Who's Your Daddy? Oh,
you're crazy.
Oh, where are you going? Okay, we'll have to hold off here for a second while Erin L. deals with something in the house. Anyway, Gigi's Boo, what's been going on? Hey, Dibby Doncy.
Just watching the crazy news. And seeing how really stupid people can be. Never knew it existed.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have to mind me if I mute out sometimes, I'm getting over this nasty cold. Nasty cold, and I have to cough occasionally. So I don't want to cough in your ear. That's very rude. Anyway, what we're going to do is we'll throw a few clips from an interview that was made with John Pilger. For those of you not familiar with John Pilger, he's a very fine journalist and documentarian, English guy. He writes some neat stuff. He makes some neat stuff. And he was interviewed by RT with respect to the outcome of the election and basically addressing how we got where we are. And I thought it was quite good. So, I don't know where the echo's coming from, guys. I have nothing here. There's a single microphone. And
let me speak. Are you getting echo when I speak?
No player going.
There's no players.
Nothing. Let me double check, make sure I don't have anything. Nope. Browser's completely closed. I don't know. It's just running back through the system somehow. All right, I apologize for that, but it won't be in the archive because we did a test recording prior, and there was no echo there. Anyway, so what we'll do is we'll take a few outtakes from that interview, and we're going to play them and use them as discussion points, or discussion starters, I suppose. So let's go ahead and hit one.
I think the only people who are surprised are those who enabled it to happen. And I'm speaking about mainly what I would call in the United States a liberal class, to a certain degree in this country, a liberal class. They told us that only the status quo, only a corrupt, warmongering status quo would be acceptable to the majority. They're surprised. We'll have their hyperventilating and their frustration and their frenzied reaction to this for a long time. They've created Trump. They've created Trump in the same way they created Blair, in the same way that others like these people, like the kind of populist that Trump is, in the United States, they corrupted a voting system within the Democratic Party that ensured that another populist, Bernie Sanders, I don't think really he would have beaten Trump, but he was a populist, but instead the corrupt candidate, the embodiment of the status quo that has declared the whole world a battlefield, was the candidate of sanity, the candidate for women. This grotesque campaigning for a candidate for a person who represented great rapacious power has been probably the most eye-opening side to this.
Okay, Gigi's Boo, any thoughts on that, what you just heard?
Yeah, you're going to find people everywhere that are going to find fault and blame with somebody else. And I think the Democratic Party is very, very corrupt. Now, let me say this. I'm neither party. I was raised with a very political family. My family was taught to listen and vote to what you thought was the best. So I think it's left up, and you're going to bring some points out on how people perceive things and how we were taught and how maybe some of the system, the family structure, has been broken down some, or the way that our culture, you have changes in every culture. So I'm going to stop with that. You go ahead.
Okay. I noticed that Beth Z calls it a cult of personality. I think that's a pretty interesting description. What are your any thoughts on what you just heard, Erin?
Well, I would tend to agree with the speaker because we have in this country watched our entire society just systematically break down, even just in my lifetime, that I've been aware to see, especially during my entire lifetime. So I was telling my dad the other day that his generation was probably the last really good, solid one with a good, solid upbringing. And since then, it's gone completely downhill and especially nosedived in the last 15, 20 years, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very disturbing thing. And there are a lot of aspects that we could touch on with that. We could touch on with the all the economic changes that and this whole, I will call it farcical, fake women's lib business that was nothing more than designed to put another person in the workplace to make another taxpayer. That's all that was, and to create another consumer. And well, I'll catch a lot of heat about that opinion, but that's my opinion. I think that's all there was to that. So what happens is now you don't have a functional family unit. And so what happens to the offspring in a situation like that? They end up more reliant on the public education system. Certainly the churches kind of fell out of the picture too. That's another issue. But you had your public education system, they're more and more dominated by collectivists, by communists, really, and I call it what it is. It's freaking communism. And it may sound like McCarthy, but the fact of the matter is that the history is very clear that there is a Marxist communist, and I'm not going to leave Zionism out because they're basically all the same things. And I'll catch a lot of heat over that, too. But that's just life in the fast lane, as far as I'm concerned. Any thoughts on that?
Women's lib is a laugh to me.
Go ahead.
Nah, I really think it's just a pointless bunch of mess. And I agree with you about the breakdown of the family structure. And here's a question for everybody. And I'm not putting down anybody that's ever been married and divorced or anything. But how many people in this chat room tonight had a mother and daddy that were married all their lives? Never divorced, never remarried, married.
Okay, so there won't be any dead air while we're waiting for
okay,
the
lag. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, there's a lag, so it's going to take a second for that.
But what I'm saying is my mother was married one time before, and my father was a sperm donor. My daddy is my daddy, the one that raised me from the time I was a little bitty tiny girl. But my grandparents, get a load of this, my grandparents were married 65 years. They worked side by side. They were hardly without each other anywhere. They dated five times, and he married her on the sixth date. And I asked my grandmother, I said, how did y'all make it that long? How did you do it? She said, we came from an era where it was broke. You fixed it. You didn't walk away. Now with that, I'm going to hush.
That's okay. I think you put your brown center. Some very important elaboration on the point. Betsy made a comment that the ubiquitous they, and I think we know who we're talking about, shape the culture with education and media, and by making social, quote, norms.
I completely agree with that, Beth.
Tell her to come up to the mic a little bit, Gary.
Yeah. Okay, Brenda brought up a good topic. I and Aaron's mom are divorced. So you turned out pretty differently than most. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
I would. When I look at my generation, yes.
And so, I don't know. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think because all that runs through my mind is cause and effect and take responsibility. And those are the big ones. I remember those things from you relentlessly, and it worked really well.
Okay. Brenna, any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think she had a good role model for the you. Okay, honestly, not because I love you and love the ground you walk on, and you're my husband and the love of my life, you are a very grounded person. You have good morals. You have... you're just an all-around good person.
I'm just too old not to be bad anymore.
Now listen, we can say... What is it that I said to you?
Which thing?
I might not be lean, but I'm still mean.
Lean, mean, fighting machine.
That's right.
Okay. Let's check out another of Pilger's comments and see where it takes us. Beth says, I'm glad to hear you are seeing that out there, Aaron, and being aware.
Very much. Thank you.
Okay. Here we go. Pilger 2.
She is clearly the embodiment of a corrupt system. She is the embodiment of a very dangerous warmongering system that has declared the world a place where it can go to war wherever it likes, where it can bomb agricultural communities in Yemen, where half the children are malnourished, where it can do what it likes in Syria, do what it likes in Iraq. I think most of humanity regards that kind of behavior from the allegedly most powerful country in the world as abhorrent.
Okay. What kind of reactions do you have to that, Aaron?
Again, I can't disagree with him because I think in this country we are so insulated with our bought-off media that we don't have a clue what's actually going on in the rest of the world. So when you go to looking and you see things like what's happening in Yemen, it breaks my heart when I see how many, what is it, hundreds of thousands of children are pushed out into the desert and they're all starving to death. Mm-hmm. And we don't hear a single thing about that. With all these butthurt people getting ready for every other cause when it comes to children. But I read something where, what did it say? It said something about the children are always the ones that suffer. No matter what it is that's going on, it's always the children that suffer. And I completely agree with that.
Absolutely. And I think you really hit some interesting points, and Pilger did as well. You have to look at our information medium, and that is, as Beth called earlier, the CLAP, or the lamestream media, that's essentially owned by 6 corporations, and all of them are in business to enrich themselves. And war, whether we like it or not, has been the supporting factor of our economy since whatever happened on 9/11 happened. That's been it. Brenna, what do you think about all that?
Say it one more time.
Oh, about the clip that was played. What do you?
Oh yeah, I think it's. If you're talking about the feeding of the powerful and the hungry, and I'm like Aaron, you don't have to go to Yemen. All you got to do is go up the road to the Appalachian Mountains, and you'll see people that are living worse than third world countries are. Instead of making all this money like everybody makes and trying to grab the power, take that energy and do something constructive.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think what you bring up here is that there's no money to be made in taking care of the people in this country. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Start at home first.
Well, it's not profitable to do so. So, you know, it's not profitable to take care of our own infrastructure. Look at Detroit. And Brenda, you saw some interesting things going on in Detroit.
Oh, yes. I was watching, I can't remember the name of the channel. It's a channel that I didn't recognize, flipping. And it's showed abandoned places. And, you know, Detroit is almost zero population, where all the car things were. And there was a few people that were still there, and they were maintaining the neighborhood. And they were tearing down the houses and piling the wood up and repurposing it for people to use to rebuild things or to burn if they had to. But they were growing things. They were taking and growing gardens. They were giving people seeds and seedlets, little plants and things to put out to grow a garden. And those that couldn't, the elderly, they went right on, and they went straight, and they grew them, and they took them to a market right there in the neighborhood. And they said they loved their town, you know, their part of the town. And they were really fighting a lot to have it renamed, and the people told them no, they would never let them rezone it or rename it. And there was one gentleman there, and they called him the mayor. And he had a pickup truck, and he would go down to the market downtown Detroit and beg for stuff, and he would take it in and truck it in the back of his truck to the elderly, to the mothers who had children. And you're seeing communities to come back together. They're coming back. You're seeing people focus. And I've always said, takes a village. It takes that village working together. And I was very proud of that. You know, you and I talked about that, and I said, man, this is just wonderful. And they were another, oh, yeah, one other thing. This one woman went down to the restaurants and asked for their, what we call down south is hog slop, and asked for it to recycle. And they would take the old food, and they went to the Detroit Zoo. And they laughed. They said, well, we're getting, I hate to say this just right out, but giraffe shit. And we're putting it in here. And she was composting all of it together, you know, to make a good soil for these people to grow these plants in. And I was telling Gary, I think that's just the greatest thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, and I think it exemplifies the fact that the people there are doing it as a local network. This is going on, if you want to look at it in a tribal context, this is going on locally, people helping each other, doing the things that are needed. Is kind of, and there's probably, I don't know if it was directly mentioned or not, but it's probably a barter situation in many respects. And so, I guess the point is that there is no investment potential in that. There's no corporate investment potential. There's no payback to be had.
That's right.
And that's
not padding anybody's pocket, baby.
Well, exactly. And there is one of the things, and getting back to Pilcher, one of the things that brought us to a situation where we ended up with this ridiculousness we called an election. And the people, I mean, I look at the old history, and I wish I still had it up. I had a quote out of a book that when you read the quote, you can make it today, but it was in the 1920s. And it was absolutely the same set of circumstances going on that we see now. So we do understand that history is repeating, and it does repeat. And for those who don't bother to learn, you suffer from that. Behind the woodshed, Hal made a very good point when we were talking about the media, this insulating ignorance. That's pretty good, don't you think, Boo Boo?
Mm-hmm.
Trumpy says years ago, CIA realized it was cheaper to dump drugs into slums than build the social structure to repair it. And that provided a whole lot of other benefits as well.
Absolutely. That knocked out so many things with one factor. It's insanity, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a whole lot of money being made there, too.
And so. Now with these privately owned prisons, it's that much sweeter.
Sure is. Let's hit Pilger 3 and see what that is.
The shock surprise is the same as the Brexit vote. A kind of how dare these people vent their frustrations at the ballot box. The truth is there was no one to vote for in the United States. There was perhaps Sanders earlier on, but he was a kind of a minority populist candidate with a large following, yes. But the system threw up those who could afford it. Trump had his own money. Clinton was backed by the Democratic Party. Clinton was backed by the arms company. She was the only candidate that among her financial backers included all but one of the 10 leading arms manufacturers in the world.
Okay, Aaron, thoughts?
Not at all surprising. I'd probably echo his same thoughts as well. Like I told you on Friday, I'm relieved that she didn't get into office, although I am just kind of sitting back waiting for the punchline.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, it's intriguing what's going on now. Gigi's Boo, what do you think?
I don't think the Democrats are going to leave it alone. I think they're going to keep on. But I'm not going to talk politics, but I don't think that she was the right candidate. And I tell everybody, please vote. It doesn't matter if you have to do a write-in. I've wrote in Mickey Mouse, Superman, Spider-Man. I wrote in my grandfather 3 or 4 times. And vote. But I just think, you know, Gary and I come to odds over this sometimes, but he lets me alone, lets me do what I want to do about it. But he swore. He just knew Hillary Clinton was going in. And I will tell you this. As she gone in, the United States, as you know it, would have really been gone. I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but the woman she was not well enough to be president. She wanted to take and amend our Second Amendment. And when you amend that Second Amendment, listen, you listen to the Indian. They told us to give up our guns. And we did. And what did they do to us? Do not stand down. I am not promoting a revolution by any means. But I am not going to back any candidate who is going to take away my Second Amendment. When they take away your Second Amendment, your First Amendment's gone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot to mention it. Maybe I blocked it out of my memory. But yeah, I was completely wrong for the last 18 months. I have been adamant about the fact that it wasn't so much that, we can talk about voting all day long. It's who counts the votes that makes the difference. But I was adamant that Hillary was going to be installed and that the overall agenda, Mr. Global, as Catherine Austin Fitz calls it, Mr. Global has this agenda and has a collectivist agenda that brings us all under one big umbrella, and Hal speaks of this quite well on his show, Behind the Woodshed, 3 to 5 on Sundays. But something happened. Something happened. I am still a bit mystified by it all. I look at the numbers of votes, the popular votes, and give me a break. I don't believe for a minute that all those votes for Hillary are valid. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't think so. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether the amount of voting was so one-sided that the algorithms built into the system to flip votes, maybe one out of every 10, were overwhelmed. I don't know. I don't know if there wasn't some sort of counter coup that happened in the background, especially over the last 2 weeks prior to the election. There was a whole lot of shaking going on, and something changed. And you can see that the media, the Democrats, these George Soros-funded people, are totally in. They're all in. I mean, it's like Texas Hold'em. They're all in. There's something significant was represented by this latest series of events. Thoughts?
Okay, I'm going to give you some thoughts.
Go ahead.
Okay, Donald Trump was born on June the 14th, 1946. His birthday this year, he was 70 years old. 7 months later, from June the 14th, July, August, September, October, November, December, you know, whatever, June, whatever, count it. That's going to be another 7. From January 14th to the 20th, when he's sworn in, that's another 7. The Indians have put the 7s together. That's our most sacred number. Take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You might say I'm crazy, but Indians look at things like that. You got 3 7s.
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I think there's a whole lot more to our reality than we're willing to recognize. But anyway, that was just my 2 cents worth. I think there something happened. Something significant happened. It's just crazy. Look, the Republicans didn't like Trump. The media didn't like Trump. Everybody's Hillary, 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 Hillary. And it doesn't happen. That's really weird. That's beyond weird. Thoughts?
Yeah, they gave her a great layup with the whole FBI deal and everything else surrounding her. And then all of a sudden, just a few weeks before the election, everything turned and they were just going after her. You could see it in the newspapers where it was this stark split between the love and the hate. Of people defending her and people just going after her for what a monster she is. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they pulled out, I guess. They pulled out just kind of like they did to Bush. By the end of his second term, he was made a mockery of. Not going to go any further, and I have no personal feelings about that. I'm just stating a fact that when things don't go as planned, they'll throw you under the bus, and doesn't seem that anybody's above that.
Yeah, and Ivy Don Seabrook threw in a YouTube video for anyone who's interested. That the title is Trump Prophecy, the Donald Trump 777 Presidential Inauguration Prophecy. So there, Gigi Spook.
Yep.
You might want to take a look at that.
I will.
Yeah, I see you said that in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of Maestro Brown, there were so many things. It was just WikiLeaks was a one. Now, I'm going to tell you my opinion of WikiLeaks. They're a CIA front. Nothing more, nothing less. And so what comes out in WikiLeaks is being leaked for a purpose. And the fact that, well, I mean, look at the reality. There, as far as the deep state is concerned, your military-industrial complex, some of your significant players were really mad about what happened in Benghazi. They were really mad about that.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Wouldn't you be?
Well, yeah, I was.
I am.
But, you know, you can see these little things could have an impact on influencing certain people who have a great deal of power that you just don't see on a daily basis. They can put things out there.
the FBI guy. What's his name?
Comey.
Comey. The reason he found no fault with Hillary, no reason to prosecute her, she did no wrongdoing. Simply because he didn't want to end up in a body bag.
Didn't want to be a dead, didn't want to be a dead man. Yeah. I mean, let's be real. And people say, oh, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm an Indian. I can argue a lot of conspiracies. We've lived through them. Yeah, they're not conspiracies. They happened.
That's right. Now, look at the number of body bags behind the Clinton train.
Woo!
That's a little bit more than just a coincidence. So if you're a coincidence theorist and you think that happened, just coincidentally, maybe you ought to become a conspiracy theorist because it makes a lot more sense that way. Okay. What else we got? Chat room.
Yeah, Frumpy, you're right. Harry Reid was a real ass, said about Trump.
Right.
They broke the news today. He told him that he was corrupt. He was not a pedophile. Woman, he was a molester. And I don't know what all. And he's the one that got up. Oh, my God. And I laughed. I have laughed. Oh, I couldn't get my breath. When they were doing all this stuff, and he got up, and he was asking, when Obama first went in, he was asking, please don't take the money away from Nevada. We have the cowboy poetry, and it pays for our cowboy poetry. Where would we be if we didn't have that? And I thought, somebody needs to dot you between the eyes real quick.
Yep. Okay, let's see. Are we at number four? I've lost track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's hit number four and see what we have.
People, for all kinds of reasons, don't like this. Mainly, the main reason is what has happened to their lives. The way a corrupt banking system has destroyed their lives, has destroyed jobs, destroyed whole cities and towns, the towns that the Democratic Party once claimed to represent. That's what they don't like, and that's why they voted for Trump. I would have thought they would have voted for a Trump. He articulated it very well. There's no question about that. But a Trump coming along up against a candidate representing this corrupt status quo, this corrupt establishment, would have won.
Okay. Any reactions?
No? I think there was a different hand in it to cause it.
What do you mean?
There had to be a divine hand in this.
Well, certainly a possibility. Something happened. Now,
yeah.
I'm not. Thanks, Meisterbro. I'm not going to be naive enough to suggest that what we have now is a complete outsider. I don't believe that.
I don't think they can pat his pockets, Gary.
No, not so much that I'm talking about. I'm talking about he doesn't really represent an outside.
No, he's been in the game so long already with Atlantic City and everything else that makes him Donald Trump.
Mm.
Yeah, so he has his connections as well. It's just not the East Coast establishment. But I guess it is sort of, but it's not the Yaleys, it's not the Harvards, it's not the Yaleys and the Skull and Crossbones people.
Right.
You got a whole different panoply of characters that are going to now become involved, and I don't think it's going to hurt us. I don't think it's going to hurt us at all. And on the other hand, I feel very confident that a Clinton, another continuation of the Yaley, Skull and Bones, Mena Airport, drugs for money, 9/11's, bombing and Oklahoma City bombing and
yeah.
Waco, Texas, all these things.
Timothy McVeigh.
I'm sorry?
Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, all these things happened under that cabal of criminals. All of them did. So at least now we have an opportunity to take things in a different direction, and we might actually see a better outcome. Jesus Boo, thoughts?
I know we're going to see a better outcome.
Okay. What do you think?
Just as well as I know, my granddaddy told me one time, I said, "Granddaddy, how old are you?" He said, "By God, I'm old enough to eat cornbread." And I get joked. So he knew he could eat cornbread. I know it's going to be a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, Aaron, what are your thoughts about all this as you've been listening?
You're talking about in the world or what we're talking
about? Yeah, but just overall. I mean, we need to talk about what needs to be done to head the right direction.
Well, so. It's difficult because I'm younger and have less broad of a vantage point over time. But what I'm seeing of my generation and generations since and this entire breakdown of society is scary. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to stomach. And unfortunately, there's no one fix or another fix because it's been so completely... what's the word I'm looking for?
Obliterated.
Saturated. Yeah, right. It's been completely saturated in all of this mess that... there is no easy way out. Whatever way out, whatever the fix is going to hurt, it's going to be painful. There's going to be a lot that happens that's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just have to rip that Band-Aid off and make it happen.
Yeah, sometimes you have to rip the scab off.
Right.
And that's pretty much, I think, what we've developed. We have.
Well,
this, go ahead.
Let me make one suggestion here. If you know how to do anything, just work on computers, set up websites, like I do, sew, can, crochet, survival, please share your knowledge with a younger person. Take it on yourself to educate, to pass your knowledge on, because we already see they're not going to get anything in school. They've even stopped teaching how to write cursive. Spread your knowledge on to younger people, to children. Any bit of, you might not think you have any knowledge, but you do. So pass it on. I'm off my rant.
I absolutely agree with you, Brenna. Absolutely. I was just telling Dad about my feelings on this, and it's exactly that. Because I read a quote that said, if you can't change the world, go home and love your family. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it. And as a young person that's always felt like a much older person, because I was very insistent as a very young child to watch old TV shows and old movies, I didn't get indoctrinated with a lot of cartoons and things like that. I wanted to watch stuff from when my dad was a kid, things that were mm-hmm. a lot more wholesome. So I think that had a lot to do with what shaped my point of view about how we behave and how we treat one another and as a society, what you're supposed to do. And I absolutely believe wholeheartedly that getting back to a trade, getting back to things that are more realistic, growing food, introducing children and people of all ages to these things, because we literally have people my age and on either side that don't understand where meat comes from. Mm. They don't understand what vegetables are. And not just food, that just happens to be a big thing for me, but they don't understand how to think critically. Mm-hmm. They don't understand how to disagree with someone and still be respectful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All of those things have been stripped from us. And to make a comment on something that was said earlier about women's lib, mm-hmm. another aspect that came from that with the fracturing of the nucleus of the family, you then had all of these money these million-dollar businesses such as fast food that came into demand because everyone was working and they were busy, so they just needed something quick and convenient. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at daycares, and then you're looking at, I mean, there's a million things that they're all starts that breakdown. And then when the parents start to break down, the entire family is broken down because this wasn't meant for one person to do. So you attack that, and then the children get it, and then we won't even get into the judicial system, even on a lower level of caring for the broken families. They aren't concerned about children. They're concerned about messing these kids up enough to make sure that they have more revenue coming in the next generation.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said something about that. Because if you notice, the government rewards a lot of these women to have one child right after another, stay home, live off the little bit. They give them housing. They pay, you know, they have a little money coming in. They have food stamps. There was a woman that was on, they interviewed her. Was it on TV or did I see it? On something else, where she said she had 12 children, and she wanted to know when the government was going to be responsible enough to take care of her and her children. I almost fainted.
Absolutely.
Honey, you got 12 children. The government ain't your baby daddy.
Right.
Well, you bring a good point about how, and this goes back to that Marxist communist agenda of dependency.
Absolutely.
And state control, centralized control. And let's not kid ourselves. And I know I'm sounding like McCarthyism and all this stuff, but let's not kid ourselves. The history is very clear that there's been this agenda to extend this umbrella over the entire world. And you can look back through our history and you can see the players that have been, I mean, I can name some names. Harry Hopkins under the Roosevelt administration. He's an interesting fellow looking up.
Yeah. You know, Roosevelt, I think, when he started the WPA mm-hmm. and all that, that was really to help people. And the welfare, that was to help people because that was during the Depression and
right.
People were going way off to pay 14 cents an hour. They thought that was a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's always sold as a way to help people.
Well, I think its original intention was very good for that acute situation. Mm-hmm. It was never meant to become a permanent structure.
Same way with food stamps.
Right.
Same exact thing. That was important. But we never get to the underlying cause. The underlying cause is our banking system and our monetary system. That's your underlying cause, and that takes us back to 1913. And guess who was involved in that? The same globalist, socialist, communist agenda. It's all the same. And you look at the history. It was all over the world. And that goes back to, as Hal pointed out, insulated ignorance. Mm-hmm. That information has been kept from us. Unless you really dig it out, you won't find it. Okay, there's something someone said I wanted to comment to. Yeah, Moose Girl. She asked, what exactly needs to happen and what is the goal? I think you guys were kind of hitting on that a little bit when you were talking about self-sufficiency and looking inward rather than outward.
Right.
Anybody want to pick up on that a little bit more?
Well, in defense, and we were not speaking against single mothers at all. That happens. But I know for a fact Miss Girl works her ass off for her children. I've seen that happen. So what we're saying, Moose, is start at home and really take care of those kids and teach them values. Make them get an education. Nothing comes for free unless it comes with a price. What people can't understand now is this. They got you on a certain amount of money a month. They're giving you food stamps. They're dictating where you're going to live. That's just a modern day form of slavery. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
That's all it is. I really admire Dr. Ben Carson's mother. She had a third grade education, and he came from the ghetto. But he did not let that stop him. And his mother did not let that stop her. So.
Yeah, that's one thing I rant about constantly is working. That seems to be offensive to people. Is that it? Life is not fair. I say fair is a fairy tale. And it's not here to be given to you. Life is not here for you to passively float through and say, oh, woe is me. All of this has happened to me. It's to work hard. If you want something, you have to work for it. And that's one of the biggest things that I tell kids these days. Because it's a fact. There's no getting away from that reality. If you want something, you have to work for it. And even if you come in last, you still have to continue to give 110%.
Mm-hmm. Brenna?
That's right. I mean, you know, I've got an example I'm going to give you. I have a friend who came from a pretty wealthy family. And when I say that, her daddy was a cardiologist, and he really did well, and she was daddy's princess, and she ended up marrying, and she was her husband's princess. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden she just kind of took a little bit of an interest in a home and doing things. And it was so funny, and me and Gary have laughed. She wanted to learn to can. So, well, first she wanted to learn to cook, and you couldn't say peel the potatoes and put them in the pot, cook a pot of potatoes. You had to say, get the potatoes, wash them good, peel them, wash them again, put them in a pot, put water in them, salt, pepper, or a little seasoning, however you want to do it, and you have to cook them till they're, you can stick a knife in them, or until they're very tender. So then she got through cooking, and she graduated to wanting to can, because I do a lot of canning. And so she had to see my canner. She came over here. And when hers came, she brought it over here and wanted to do a dry run at our house. So what we did is we canned and we sterilized water. But anyway, getting to the point, she went crazy. How many quarts, Gary, of potatoes did she put up?
I don't know. It was too many.
Way too many. And then she ran up on a deal of, this is what was so funny, she ran up on a deal of celery, and she brought that celery home. She washed it and did everything just like we had told her how to can to be clean. And she put that celery in there, and she pressure canned that stuff. Oh, you know what she got when she took it out? It was just mush. But she was really, she was just crying because her celery didn't do good. But what I'm saying is this. She went from a grown woman who knew nothing to do, didn't know how to do anything except go to the beauty shop twice a week and get her nails done, get her hair done twice a week, to now she's cooking everything. It was hilarious. The first turkey she was going to cook for Thanksgiving, she brought it over to Mama and had Mama fix everything like it was supposed to be. And she took it back and she cooked it. And when she thought it was done, she brought it back over here to Mama to see if it was done. You see, her mother didn't do anything like this. So that's why I'm saying, if you have a gift of knowing something, pass that on to somebody else. You would not believe what kind of homemaker this girl has turned into. She's top notch.
I agree. I was very lucky to come from two parents that cooked. And they were, you know, as we discussed earlier, they were divorced, but they were two independent people. I didn't have this roles, and it was you work, you take care of home, you cook, you clean, and it was at either house I went to. So I'm actually very thankful for that, because when I see other people that are, a lot of them are what I would call crippled. I don't, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody at all, but cooking is such a basic thing because eating is a necessity. So why in the world would you set yourself up in life to depend on someone else to cook food for you to eat? And then you can go on to finances, or not everybody's strong with finances, but Lord have mercy, at least know how to balance your checkbook and know how to change a tire and know how to do these basic things that they're lost. They're absolutely lost. Not only conceptually can people in these newer generations not grasp the idea of the real world and how life works, but it's difficult to even sit them down and teach them. But that doesn't mean don't try.
You're right. And, you know, and getting back to what's the goal? I think the goal is to become more
self-reliant.
Self-reliant.
Yes.
And to help other people and to network with people, you know, and to help other people understand that they are powerful. And it doesn't take much, does it? Oh, you know, just that little light bulb goes off.
That's right.
Yeah.
And wow, they find something they really, really like. And it hasn't got anything to do with Common Core or right. Democrats or Republicans or anything. It has to do with who they are, where they are.
Yeah, Beth said a handicap might be more fitting.
Okay, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's something that Gary and I have thumped on for a good number of years, is being prepared. Like the Boy Scouts, be prepared.
That's right. And, we're getting close to the top of the hour. 2 minutes left. Let's go ahead and run this last little clip. And it's not a big one, but I think it wraps everything up well.
The United States is not run by a president. It's run by a massive national security machine. There's no doubt certain presidents have had very considerable influence, particularly one like Trump, who now has Republican Senate and House, although a lot of those Republicans were his enemies. So it's a new path to tread.
Yep, it's a road less traveled, right? It's a new path. And I think he hit the nail square on the head. I think we put maybe a little bit too much emphasis on some of these things, but we're led down the path to do so. And it's good because it allows us to have conversations like we had tonight. Thanks so much to daughter Erin L. for stopping by. A little fireside.
Yeah, we're all glad to have her with us.
Fireside chat. And Gigi's Boo, of course. And yeah, Grim there does the cooking. And he does the washing, and he does the wrenching.
He does the washing and wrenching.
The washing and wrenching. Yeah, he does all of that. And he also runs this wonderful Real Liberty Media website. And RLTWT Radio. And, of course, Graham Z, who's in the chat room, has a handle in the hand in that as well. So, yeah, we thank all you guys for what you do. And it's 8 o'clock. It's time for us to hit the road, Jack. Yeah, thanks so much for everyone joining us tonight. Thanks for the interaction in the chat room. It's been a real fun night, right, Gigi's Boo?
Exactly.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And you guys have a great night. And we'll catch up with you next time on the road. Let's travel. Bye-bye.